Hey, it's Becca.
And it's Nancy.
And this is
Insane Investigations.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much for listening. We are back with the Dyatlov Pass.
My favourite.
So if you haven't listened to our first episode on the Dyatlov Pass, pause now. Go back and listen to it because today we're just talking about theories. And if you haven't heard the story, you're going to be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, it's not going to make any sense.
It's not going to make any sense. Unless you already know about the Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah.
I don't know. So originally we said we were going to do this in two different parts.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like 28 different theories and I want to talk about them all. And that's just too much time. It'd be like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
So
just a tad bit excessive.
Yeah, just a little bit too much. I don't think anybody has 5 hours to sit and listen to us shite talk.
No, I don't think so.
So we're gonna do like a series on the Dyatlov Pass incident because we don't want to do like a lot of consecutive episodes about the Dyatlov Pass and kind of
let it overtake our whole podcast.
And like, you know, you kind of want to hear about something else.
Yeah.
So we're going to do 10 theories today and then we'll either do like a mini series where we do like 2 per episode or we can do a part 3 somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
But we will cover them all. So if there is any that you haven't heard that you know little bits about, don't worry, we are going to cover them. You can email us at Insane Investigations if there's any that you really want us to cover.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think we'll just jump straight into it. So the first conspiracy that we're going to talk about is natural occurrences. On the Dyatlov Pass website, there's a section specifically for theories and it's split into 2 parts. There's natural and there's criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Now under criminal, like, that's where all the paranormal stuff and everything is. It's just the way they split it up, so that's the way that I've split it up as well.
Yeah,
we're gonna do natural causes and then we're gonna do a criminal one.
Yeah,
quotation marks,
supernatural
and supernatural slash criminal.
Yeah
we're gonna kind of go between because I know it'd be a bit boring if we just talked about natural causes for ages and ages and then criminal. The first one that we're going to do is natural and it's weather. So there's multiple different
theories
about the weather in particular. So we're going to cover 3 of them today. The first one is the avalanche theory. So although Dead Mountain was not a common area for an avalanche to occur, many theorists believe that this might have been the cause of the incident. The tent being cut from the inside fuels this theory, as an understandable explanation would be that the avalanche covered the tent and they fled in panic from fear that a second avalanche would come. So there was no time to like gather their belongings and their clothes.
Yeah,
and
they just were like, we need to get out now.
Just get out now.
Yeah, like that makes sense.
Supporters of this theory do argue that the hikers tried to make their way to the, I hope I pronounced this right, Ospia River, but somehow ended up back at the Lozva River. The theory states that after 4 weeks of snow being rushed down the slopes, that all signs of natural disaster would be erased.
Okay.
So that's why nobody thought an avalanche to begin
with. Yeah, because the weather was just kind of bad. Okay.
The theory does have a lot of gaps though.
Mm.
So as we said in part 1, the footprints showed the hikers were not running, they were actually walking.
Yeah.
So even though some people say it would have made sense because they got away from the avalanche,
from the immediate danger, yeah,
they did also say though that
if they were like
terrified, they were in a panic and they cut open the tent, so like how far would you really go, because you don't know how big the next avalanche is gonna be if that's what you're afraid of.
Like if anything you would still think that they would sprint initially and then maybe slow down to a walk.
Exactly, like when I first heard the theory I was like I don't know, like if there's an avalanche coming I think I'd run.
I would imagine I would run too.
I don't know if I just start strolling away
just casually.
Some members of the group were in a bad state as well, and it would have been impossible to transport them if those injuries had happened before.
Yeah, like from the avalanche initially. Yeah. And yeah.
So how would they have moved them?
Yeah.
While they were in this mad panicked rush.
Yeah.
And then how did 9 of them walk away? Like, there was 8 or 9 footsteps.
Footprints, yeah.
Doesn't really make sense there. The other thing as well to mention is Liuda had suffered from badly broken ribs to the extent that they had actually pierced her heart. And she was found with blood in her chest cavity. And that type of injury would have killed her quite quickly. And she was found quite a good bit away from the tent, which means that she got those injuries where her body was found. Yeah, not,
like, there was no way that she could have gotten them injuries from an avalanche in the tent and then brought out to where she was.
To where she was.
Unless they were just carrying her dead body, which, once again, that makes no sense. Like, why would they just do that?
No, it doesn't add up.
No.
One thing as well that wouldn't be erased by bad weather is damage to the trees.
Yeah.
The trees in the area would be knocked down or at least have some kind of damage. Mm. But the only damage done to the trees was that they were burned at the top. And we're going to talk about that in a theory later on.
But nothing to indicate an avalanche.
Yeah, that's not going to cause... That's not going to be caused by an avalanche. No. It'd be the opposite.
Yeah, literally.
And also as well, what I thought was, how could somebody lose their tongue or their eyeballs in an avalanche?
Fair enough. There's one or two things that you can go, yeah, okay, maybe it was this. But I feel like there's more things pointing away from an avalanche than there are pointing towards.
Towards it. Yeah. In a couple of the theories, I looked up what some people on Reddit thought as well, because I thought that'd be an interesting element to add.
Yeah, because people do some mad deep research into shit.
Yeah.
On Reddit.
And yeah, Reddit is a great place to go when you're looking into true crime.
like there's some people that literally have nothing else to do with their lives bar like look deep into shit like this. Yeah. And they come up with some mad theories.
That's like gold. Imagine your life was just like researching paranormal. Yeah. And
coming up with theories, fucking
just writing them on Reddit anonymously. Yeah. Well, life. Anyways, user C Davis 9789 said, "I find the body map to be one of the most eerie aspects of the case. Some of them are lying next to each other as if they were put there purposely in a mass grave. Some are alone, like they had just fell down running. Any ideas? Even in an avalanche, you wouldn't land like sardines in a can."
Yeah.
And he actually attached a picture, and when you look at it, we'll post this on the Instagram as well, you can actually see that some of them were found like in a straight line.
Yeah.
So
literally as if they just dropped dead mid-run.
Yeah. And it's labeled who each person is and what each like object is, like how far away it is. So I'll add that to the Instagram.
That is actually a good little image. Yeah.
Another user called Cab Kennels said, "I tend to lean toward an avalanche, but could the avalanche have been caused by the testing of a Russian missile, which explains the light seen by the Mansi and the photo? It would not need to be close to cause ground tremors that knock poorly placed snow down onto them in their gully. Just a thought. It would explain why the Russians were so tight with the information." I thought it was interesting to have somebody who did think that it was an avalanche, but he thought it was an avalanche in like a much more conspiracy theorist way.
Rather than just a standard, yeah,
natural cause. Yeah, he thought maybe it was a really bad avalanche and maybe it was caused by the military for some testing reason, and that's why maybe there was something in it that caused them to be found that way, or maybe that it was covered up.
Yeah.
Just badly. He put a lot of questions in my head. Or she. I don't know. Or they.
For sure.
But I do think if it was some kind of Russian test, then it would have been something else, not an avalanche.
Yeah.
Which we will also discuss, not in this episode, because I want to go into a lot of detail on that. And we have a lot of detailed ones today already. So we will cover it though.
Yeah.
So that is it for the avalanche theory.
So next we're going to talk a little bit about the lightning strike theory. So this still falls under the whole topic of like natural
weather.
Weather related theories of what could have happened. So the lightning strike theory originated from claims made by the Mansi people about the orbs of light in the sky. Believers of this theory claim that there was a camera on a makeshift tripod next to the tent, which suggests that the group was looking at something in the sky. The group fled from their tent after a ball of lightning struck the tent, causing the cuts in the tent and the group to flee. The group then headed to the tree area, as trees are known to be a safe spot for lightning storms, explaining the deaths at the cedar tree. Dina tried to help Rustic back to the tent, but they both collapsed on the journey. Lyuda, Zolotaryov and Nikolai survived in the ravine for some time before succumbing to their injuries in the cold. Igor then stripped the others to provide insulation for those who were still alive before leaving to return to the tent before dying of hypothermia. The only victim who actually showed clear signs of having hypothermia.
I think that one's a little bit more believable
already, yeah.
But there's still like a lot, like
That doesn't
make sense.
So, the gaps. So, lightning storms are actually very rare in cold weather and isn't something that would normally happen. And once again, similar to the avalanche theory, it doesn't explain a lot of the injuries. So, once again, how would that affect their fucking eyeballs and your one missing their tongue? And
it just doesn't explain any of the injuries that they had.
Yeah.
Or the like a lot of the internal injuries that they had that was caused by force.
Yeah.
A lightning strike isn't going to do that. Unless they were all struck by lightning.
Yeah, like, <I'm> saying, I don't know. It still doesn't make sense. No. And then obviously as well, the fact that two people were sent back to the tent that were in such a bad state.
Yeah.
And the others were like fine in comparison to them. But
why would they be the ones going back?
Yeah. I'm still not convinced.
No.
I feel like there's definitely other theories where I was a bit more like, oh, maybe. But I feel like at the end of the day, I genuinely don't know.
And that's why it bothers me so much.
It's like I need to know.
That's why I think about it so often. That's why like sometimes I'll be sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning like, what happened?
Yeah.
Because I genuinely don't know. And I go through phases of believing that it was something absolutely crazy, like aliens or
KGB. It has to be.
But then I go through phases where I'm like, I don't know. Could have been the snow.
Yeah, literally.
So the last one that we're going to talk about with regards to weather is the katabatic wind theory. So katabatic wind, aka descending wind or fall wind, basically means instead of the wind blowing upwards on a slope, the cold air causes it to flow down a gradient.
Okay.
Cool air has a higher density, causing the wind to sometimes carry the force of a hurricane.
Right.
These winds are not like regular storms and occur very quickly, not allowing time to dress like a regular storm. And these winds would also tear a tent to shreds. Again, some of it makes sense,
yeah,
but the cuts still were made from the inside and it would have been made from the outside if that was the case. Wind. It still doesn't explain all the injuries.
No.
It's just, again, like, I think that that one has a lot of holes in it. There's not a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
Online. Even Reddit, not many people said much about it. So, it's not really a popular theory, but
mm-hmm. I've never heard about it before, so
yeah, I'd never heard about that type of storm before.
No,
so I thought that it would be interesting to people who are still trying to figure out what they think. So
yeah, so that's pretty much it then for our natural weather theories. So next we're going to get into a few of the more criminal / paranormal ones. So starting off with, I would say this one's quite a big one. I feel like this is definitely one that a lot of people talk about when it comes to the Dyatlov Pass case, and it is definitely one of the more popular theories. So
I think it's the first thing you mentioned to me when you told me about it.
Yeah.
You were like, it was aliens.
Possibly, like, there's no way it's anything else. So yeah, like Becca said, it's basically the alien / UFO theory. So A lot of people believe that a UFO was what scared the hikers away. And about the same time, Soviet armed forces did launch several rockets from Baikonur Base. Although the military claimed the rockets landed in the North Ural Mountains, several geologists 70 kilometers from the mountain saw some glowing and pulsating orbs flying in the direction of the Kolasaku on the day of the tragedy.
That's Dead Mountain.
Dead Mountain, yeah. Lev Ivanov, remember him, the lead investigator on the case, did interviews years later and revealed that they initially looked into the case and they could see that the tops of all the forest pine trees had been burnt. So that's literally what Rebecca was mentioning earlier. So that in itself is fucking weird. That's not something that just happens.
No.
Like, even in forest fires and shit, it's never just like the tops. That's like an explosion or something weird like that.
Yeah.
He also uncovered that a Soviet Congress member, A.P. Kirilenko, and his advisor, A.F. Ashtokin, forced Ivanov to remove any trace or reference to the unknown flying objects or any other strange things that could have caused it. This included the claims and drawings made by the Mansi tribe that they had seen the spherical lights in the sky. Other witnesses reported seeing these lights in the sky at other times, confirming that it wasn't made up. However, Ivanov was forced to ignore these major factors in the case.
That's fucked.
And I remember hearing about that as well, that these lights were seen by many people. There was other, the search and rescue were seeing them. There was other hikers in the area that were doing their own little expeditions. Now, fuck knows why anyone would go near that mountain ever again after what happened, but each their fucking own. I suppose shit happens all the time. People still go to places and go about their lives, but yeah, like, they were saying they seen lights. Obviously, the Mansi people fucking drew about them, so
it was obviously something that happened.
Yeah. Why wasn't it spoken about?
Yeah, why would somebody step in?
I feel like the government just acted so fucking sketchy throughout the whole thing. And I think that's what makes so many, like, rumours or so many of these theories so fucking insane. Because people weren't getting answers, so they were... Yeah.
Like, the government doesn't just step in and tell a lead investigator you're not allowed to report this or document this or...
Yeah.
Take witnesses for this. Like, it's just... It didn't happen.
Yeah. So it's like, look into other theories, but just ignore all of this shit.
Yeah.
So, it is true that following the instance, the Soviet Union did really get interested in the world of the unknown. Even Kirilenko became obsessed with UFOs. In the early 60s, he began requesting KGB archives to investigate further into UFOs. We don't know if anything was found in the documents, but it was strange that a political figure in the USSR would be interested in such things. At the time, UFOs were not investigated by official scientists as it was deemed a pseudo-scientific or religious phenomenon, so the atheist Soviet Union prohibited interest in the subject. This would be especially frowned upon for figures of such high status like Kirilenko. And we have a quote from Lev Ivanov, and he said, "When E.P. Maslenikov and I examined the scene in May, we found that some young pine trees at the edge of the forest had burn marks, but those marks did not have a concentric form or some other pattern. There was no epicenter. This once again confirmed that heated beams of a strong but completely unknown, at least to us, energy were directing their firepower towards specific objects. In this case, people, acting selectively."
Fucked up.
Wow. Okay, so that's basically all the kind of signs, like what people kind of link to this theory. Now, same goes as some of the other theories. We do have a few gaps as well in this theory also. So the first one being a dead ringer. There is no proof that UFOs exist.
Obviously.
Well, there kind of is.
There is and there isn't. Like, it's still a question mark for a lot of people. I believe in UFOs. I believe in aliens. And me and my mom actually discussed this recently. And we both agree that it is completely and utterly narcissistic to believe that we are the only life forms out there.
Like, I agree. Like,
narcissism at its finest.
Yeah, literally.
We're all dumb fucks. There has to be something smarter out there.
Oh, 100%.
Like, there's no way. There's no way that we are the fucking smartest things.
We're, like, the only fucking things out there.
Just not. There has to be better out there.
Like, who do we think we are? Exactly. Like, honestly.
Exactly.
Who are we?
Who are we?
Dead right, though. No, but one of the things, obviously, we do want to do a whole episode dedicated to, like, UFOs and stuff like that, because obviously it's something that both me and Rebecca find hella interesting. And it's mad. Now, obviously, I think where a lot of the skepticism comes with UFOs is there are a lot of just crazy people out there that, you know, just blatantly lied when this whole UFO craze first started fucking happening way back when.
Yeah.
And
there's people out there with tinfoil hats on as well.
Yeah, like taking it to the fucking extreme. And I feel like that's after giving, like, nowadays, if you bring up, you know, UFOs or aliens, people automatically think you're a wacko.
Yeah.
Because of people like that. When it's like, if you actually look at, like, what Rebecca was saying as well, with the whole, we're hardly the only fucking life forms in the fucking galaxy, like, come on.
Side rant. Maybe there's life forms on other planets that put more effort into traveling the universe more than brainwashing the entire world with fucking social media and technology. Like,
yeah, literally.
If they had put all that money and all of that time and all of that effort into, like, NASA.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we would be on Mars by now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree. But yeah, when we are going to cover an episode about that, there will, or I know it's been happening for a while now. Did you see that they're after releasing more documents now? I think it's the US government.
Yeah.
Or is it the European government now? Or the European Union or something like that? I don't fucking know. Some government's after releasing more documents, so.
I think it was the American government.
I just seen it on TikTok, yeah. I know they definitely did it before, but now I don't know. There's been some new documents released now. Who and where they're from, we'll find out and cover off in that episode. Haven't looked into it too much yet. Just something I seen, and since we're on the topic, I thought I'd mention. Anyway, sorry, going back to the gap. So the other thing as well is, if aliens really did come and kill them and they were that advanced, why would they leave such big evidence?
Yeah, like, isn't the whole thing like you'll get abducted by aliens and that's why people disappear and that's why there's no proof of aliens, like, ever being left behind or anything like that? So why would they just make this massive mistake?
Like, leave such obvious signs behind. Yeah. And the UFO thing, like, it does make sense as well, in the sense that, like, the injuries and stuff are just so bizarre. Like, it could very well, like, the only way that it would make some type of sense is if it was something that was out of this world that happened.
Yeah.
You know. And the last thing that we have to do with this whole UFO theory is, we do have a comment that was left on Reddit. And it's from a deleted account, so unfortunately we don't have the name of the person who left this comment, but we'll read it out to you nonetheless. So I noticed that the facial decay / wounds that Thibaut, Liuda and Zolotaryov had, irregular jaw lacerations, cleanly removed eyes and tongues with no predation marks, oddly reminds me of human and cattle mutilations that's been happening worldwide since the 40s, which is literally what I was thinking about, like, with the whole alien thing, like, mutilations is a common thing, like, that's what I was thinking in my head as well. Anyways, they continue to say, I also noticed that the Ural Mountains are quite a hotspot for UAP, an unidentified aerial phenomenon. And it looks like they weren't far from Russia's Area 51, which is Kapustin Yar Mount Yamanto.
That's not what it's actually, like, called, but that's where it is. That's like, where the location. Okay. I can't remember.
I didn't even know Russia had its own Area 51. What the hell?
Neither did I. And when I read that, I was like, I need to look into this. So I started looking into it. I have a whole episode planned on it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's fucked. Just a little sneak peek. It's a whole ass fucking town.
It's a town?
It's a town.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
We'll do a surprise one where you don't do any research and I'll just have it to you. So you haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, and in all fairness, it's not anything I've heard about in, like, ever. So
that'll be a good surprise one.
You get my genuine reaction.
Yeah. So the next theory that we're going to cover Very similar to the UFO theory, we did touch on the strange lights that people were seeing, but there's a whole separate theory
just to do with them.
So we're going to go through some of the other theories of what those lights could have been.
Yeah.
So Vladislav Karolin and his team were hiking in the Urals not far from Dyatlov Pass only 2 weeks after the tragedy, when they saw a bright light in the sky which was shaped like a sphere. It quickly disappeared into the trees and the hikers left scared and confused. A lot of people think that it's possible that the photo captured by the Dyatlov group was the same thing that they saw, because they're very, very, it's like they basically like described what was in the picture basically.
Yeah.
And this was only 2 weeks later, so it wouldn't have been like public.
Yeah.
Publicly available.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It wasn't like spoken.
It's not like they saw the photo and they were like, oh, guess what we saw.
Do yeah, you know exactly.
Because people would do that nowadays because it'd be out there by now.
Yeah, of course. With social media and stuff instantaneous. Where back then, even if you wanted to like send a message to someone, you had to do a true telegram, which would take like fucking...
God knows how long. God, I don't even know what a telegram is.
I don't know.
So people also think like whatever this light was obviously has something to do with how and why they died. It was later found though that the Karolin group witnessed, what they witnessed was a rocket being launched from a nearby military base, and theories began to spread that the group might have been killed in some type of military experiment. So kind of added fuel to the flame there, because again it was a separate group of hikers, they seen the same thing and then died. So it was a
wait, they died as well?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So there wasn't any signs of an explosion, which is what a lot of people...
thought might have happened.
Yeah. Well, it would have been... there would have been some kind of evidence that a rocket was launched. Do you know what I mean?
Obviously they knew something.
Yeah. The hikers' injuries also didn't indicate that they were killed by an explosion, and there was no debris found. But again, like, to be fair, if you're being, like... trying to be completely like unbiased to this, the snow could have covered
any potential debris. Yeah.
Another extraterrestrial theory that was related to strange lights in this case was actually brought to surface by a man named Yuri Yakimov, and he encountered something very, very close to the Dyatlov Pass.
Okay.
So on September 11, 2002, he was working a night shift as a foreman. It was around 11 p.m. and it was dark, and he was walking down the road. As he got close to the transformer where he could light up the pitch with floodlights, about 200 meters away, he could see a shaking white light moving up and down the side of a rock dome. He described it looking like halogen headlights moving around wildly, but the light bounced up and down the side of the dump so much that it was illuminating 100 meters of land.
That's a bright light.
That's a bright light.
What the hell?
So it's not like somebody fucking around with a torch. Do you know what I mean? Trying to freak them out. Like, this is a bright ass light moving up and down.
Yeah.
It was completely silent when suddenly a beam of light from the unknown source started turning in his direction. He rushed off the road and ran to the transformer and turned on the big floodlights for the pitch. The white light continued to beam, pointing directly at Yuri, and flooded the whole pit with light. He noticed that the trees looked to have no shadows, which they would if there was that much light.
Yeah.
So that's fucking strange. He was terrified basically at that point, so he turned away from the light and held his position for a few minutes before the light slowly moved away from him. When he looked back, the initial light was focused on him and had turned, but was now turning back to him again.
Okay.
So he turned on the floodlights, this light is pointing at him, he turns, it goes away from him, but when he turns back, it just starts making its way back to point directly at him.
Right.
I would be fucking terrified.
I'd be terrified. I can't even imagine.
11 o'clock at night, close to this fucking death mountain.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Seeing this shit
and it's fucking following you. Nah, no job is worth it. I'd be gone.
No.
Small flashes of light had separated from the main one and began moving in his direction. He turned away again and noticed that the beams stopped again. Confused, he didn't know what to do next, and he knew that the lights could track him, but not other lights, because it wasn't following the big floodlights that he was turning on. There was no sign that anybody had entered the area, because again, this was close to a military site as well, so it would have been
quite sealed off.
To a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it had been raining as well, so the ground was wet, and any type of footprints or tire marks or anything like that, you would have seen them clearly. But there was no sign of anything on the road. There was no other way to enter the pit either, only the road that he had taken, so there was no way.
So if anyone was leaving, they would have had to have went past them.
Exactly. Anybody that was coming or going would have had to go past them.
What the fuck? Ew. Oh my God, I hate that.
Terrifying.
I am fucking freaked out.
Yuri tried shouting and whistling towards the light. However, the light did not react. A heavy truck was approaching on the outer road. With it flew a gust of wind over the pit. Again, no reaction to the light. It just continued to float and stare at Yuri. So again, it's weird. It's not... It doesn't react to motion. Because the wind didn't react to it. It's
sound. It's not sound, reacting to sound.
Just
it's not
him.
Making noise. That is so freaky.
So, a quote from him is, "Once again, a beam of light from the source came in my direction. I did not want to tempt fate any longer and left the place. I walked to the fork of the main road and soon the truck with a load of ore appeared. I climbed into the cabin and told the driver what I had just seen. I felt he was wary of what I was saying, but I didn't try to convince him or prove anything. I felt extremely tired, sluggish, and jaded. Probably it was because I couldn't get rid of the feeling of anxiety and danger that I felt as a result of the strange light." Ever since that event, Yuri Yakimov suspected that this light may have had something to do with the Dyatlov Pass and the group's tragic end. He spoke about it to many people and spread the word, but unfortunately not many people believed him initially and thought that he was just a little bit crazy.
See, this is what I mean, going back to what I was saying as well. Nowadays, you bring up like UFOs or aliens or shit like this, and there's been so many witnesses or people who've seen strange lights in the sky and shit that can't be explained. And like, you can't even tell anyone about it because people are just like, oh yeah, wacko. Like,
yeah.
It's obviously crazy, just crazy. Person. You're imagining it. Yeah. Like you're fucking, you know. And that could very well be something like that could have happened. But yeah, it's not even considered as a theory because...
No.
Or it's not even considered as like a probable cause because everyone's just like, oh, that can't be real.
No. But like, that is fucked. It's so fucked up. Imagine going through all that and seeing all that and like nobody believing you. And you're like, but it fucking happened.
Yeah.
So... There aren't many gaps that people have mentioned online about this theory because there are a lot of different accounts from many different people who have seen the lights in the area. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to prove that many people are lying or plead that they're insane.
Yeah. Like if it was one person, fair enough, you could kind of maybe brush it off.
Yeah.
But if there's that many encounters of this, it's kind of like... Surely there has to be something more there.
There has to be something else going on, exactly. Yeah. However, that doesn't mean that everybody completely believes the theory word for word. Some believe that there was a lot of gas in the air causing people to hallucinate these lights and possibly cause anxiety, which would explain why Yuri's anxiety continued after the incident and why the tent was cut open from the inside. So out of like pure fear and anxiety. Others believe that the lights came from some kind of military experiment and that nothing supernatural had happened. So again, people believe that these lights...
Are just something man-made and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it makes sense as well. Like, you don't really...
Yeah.
No.
I don't really think that aliens are supernatural either. But anybody who refers to the theory considers it as, like, they slot it in the supernatural category. But... I'd consider like supernatural things to be like vampires and werewolves.
Yeah.
But I actually believe in like aliens or other life forms or whatever you want to call it.
I wouldn't really consider them supernatural. I would just consider them more like scientific than anything else.
Yeah. So we do have a Reddit post for this one as well. And it's another deleted account. So he kind of recounts everything that happened in Yuri's story, so I'm not mm-hmm. going to go through all of that, but I'm just going to quote where he gives his opinion.
Yeah.
I personally think those lights could be made by the host, which a spirit of the forest, also nicknamed as the God of Demons, believed to exist by the Mansi people.
Mm-hmm.
He is said to be invisible at first, only screaming, whispering, and making stomping noises as a warning. Those who ignore its warning then see him and most likely get mutilated or killed by him. Yuri then made a theory about how those lights could scare the students, and it fits perfectly. That's an insane theory.
Yeah, I was all like, okay, so the alien one's a bit too far-fetched, but this God of Demons, some kind of forest, which, I mean, look, right, here's the thing. Yeah, that's a bit like far-fetched, it's a bit mythical almost, but at the same time, I'm just thinking, I know we're definitely going to end up doing, we're going to come around to do an episode on this as well, you know, like the Okigahara, the suicide forest.
Yeah.
Like, even in that, like, there's all these, like, oh, there's claims that there's, like, these forest spirits and these demons in the forest, and that's what drives people to, like, commit suicide in them and all. And it's like, yeah, maybe, but I don't know.
I believe that it's more something that we know about than something that we've made up.
Yeah.
Like, you have to think, like, about the fact that these supernatural things are made up. Do you know yeah. what I mean? Completely. There's no way that they exist. Whereas we don't know if aliens exist.
Yeah.
Do you know?
But then again, I mean, this is what I'm trying to get at as well. It's like, yeah, it sounds very far-fetched, but at the end of the day as well, like, we don't fucking know.
We don't fucking know, like, at the end of the day.
And I feel like all these theories, and I find this quite interesting, because a lot of cultures have very similar kind of beliefs about, like, these spirits and these spiritual creatures and all the rest. And like, where I'm thinking is all of these beliefs have to stem from some type of truth.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
And a lot of people from these tribes or these communities or religions, whatever you want to call it, have experiences that are similar to each other, but also other religions as well. So it's like, I don't really think that a lot of people got together and decided, okay, we're gonna have different belief systems and different cultures, but they're gonna tie up in these ways. Especially considering these are people who, like, nowadays would witness spiritual yeah. stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, I do kind of believe that there is a strong possibility that one of them could be right.
You never know. So next we're going to kind of go back towards the natural theories, but this time we're going to talk about animals. So the first theory is the wild animal theory. Basically, the theory goes that the group was running from a wild animal, which explains the likes of, like, the missing tongue and the eyeballs on some of the hikers' bodies. But once again, there was no evidence that there was any type of animal attack. There was no footprints or fur, like, anything like that would indicate the cause of death to be a wild animal. Also, the altitude at which the hikers were at, coupled with the dangerous terrain and weather, it wasn't, like, a known area to have a load of, like, wildlife around there, you know, due to, like, just how bad the area was.
Yeah.
So one of these potential wild animals that could be responsible is something called a wolverine. Now, I found out about this literally today.
Yeah.
Before recording this episode, and I was shocked because I always thought Wolverine of, like, as, like, that fucking fella from Marvel that has the, is it Marvel or DC? Anyways, that fucking dude, the superhero fella.
The superhero fella.
Hugh
yeah.
Jackman. That's literally what I think when I think Wolverine. I didn't know there was a real animal called Wolverine, but apparently they're mad little yokes. So yeah, a Wolverine, aka a Gulogluton, which is the Latin name for it, is from the Mustelidae family, which are like bears and foxes, etc. Just for size reference, it would be a bit bigger than a fox, but a lot smaller than a bear. So just to give you an idea of kind of the size of what this wolverine thing looks like, you can yeah. search them up. There's videos and shit on them. They're not, like, non-existent. Like, you can easily find information on them if you're interested in seeing what they look like. Basically, wolverines are known for having a fierce temperament, and there's even reports of these little creatures tearing a bear apart.
Yeah.
Like bears.
Bears.
Bears are big.
A lot bigger.
Yeah. So basically they're evil little things. And they're also the only animals that won't run from danger and are usually first to attack. Which I was just like, honestly, feels.
Yeah, a wolverine is kind of Nancy's spirit animal.
I actually think it is. Like, when I was hearing all this shit, I was like, me?
Yeah. Literally, when I told her, when I told Nancy earlier on that they're the only animals that, like, run towards danger, she was just like, and Nancy.
Yeah, literally, wolverines and me. Also, they have sharp claws and teeth, and they also have a similarity with skunks and can spray a liquid which smells awful. Now, obviously, me and Becca haven't smelled this liquid, we can imagine.
I'd assume it smells pretty fucking bad. Yeah.
So, obviously, these creatures are a strong suspect in the case. And what really made people consider this theory was witnesses have testified to seeing them in the area before. And the group was also eaten at the time right before they fled. So people obviously think that maybe the smell of their food attracted these wolverines and then they attacked them. The theory also states that the wolverine tried to enter the tent through the main entrance, and that's why the group cut their way out, as their only escape had been blocked. Theorists go on to say that when trying to escape the tent, the wolverine could have got tangled and released its smell, making the tent unlivable and its contents unusable. And the reason for their clothes being removed would be due to the smell. So the group decided to stay by the fire to keep warm and decided where to go from there. The group began to get cold as the night came through, and due to a cyclone passing through the area, the temperature dropped to minus 28 degrees, which...
Fuck. I can't imagine.
I can't even imagine that. I remember we were talking about it in part one as well, that... I think the coldest it's gotten here was like minus 4 or 5 or 6 or something like that. And even that was like unbearable.
I think like schooled, the shops shut down.
Oh, it was...
Everybody was buying bread like a maniac.
Yeah, it was insane. It was a mad time. Well, yeah, so basically that was how the group ended up getting hypothermia and then passing away was due to this. And to be honest, that one does kind of make some sense.
It does.
Like, that one actually kind of...
That one is kind of like, okay.
But what is also making me kind of go, oh, okay, right, that kind of explains a lot of stuff. At the same time, I'm also kind of thinking, if that was the reason, though, why was the government so involved? And why were they so hush-hush about it?
Why didn't they want anybody to know about a lot of the stuff? And if a wolverine is so fucking vicious... Why did it only take somebody's tongue and eyeballs?
Yeah, it surely would have eaten more of them.
Yeah. And where did all these internal injuries come from?
Yeah, like the wolverine hardly smashed them around with the force of a car.
Yeah, he hardly just fucking rolled around on top of them and then was like, right, thanks for that, see you later. No.
Yeah. See, it just...
doesn't make sense.
Mm. The next one is, once again, still a really, really popular one, but this is where we're going a little bit far out with it. And it's the theory that involves the Yeti, also known as the Mink, also known as the Abominable Snowman. So, the Mink is basically the Russian version of a Yeti and is thought to have killed the hikers. The whole reason this theory came about was due to the force behind the injuries of some of the hikers. And like we were just saying a second, a lot of references were made to like similar type of injuries as if somebody who's been through a car crash, which is very, very extensive. That's an insane amount of force. And obviously that wouldn't be like an average, like the type of thing an average person would be able to accomplish, even if it was like a serial killer or whatever.
No.
But maybe could it be something that the Mink would accomplish, something with superhuman strength. Now, there is a photo that was supposedly taken by the hikers, which depicts a Yeti-like creature. Now, in all fairness, the photo is actually quite blurry, so it's kind of hard to tell. It definitely looks like it is like some type of human-like figure, but could it be a mink? Or it could very well just be something as simple as one of the hikers. And obviously, if they're wearing like their snow gear and their big jackets and everything else, it could look a lot bigger. It
could have just been a big fella, like, it could have with all been... this gear on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It did look very, very tall. But again, it's like, it's a photograph. You can't really tell. Like, that could be taken from an angle that they're actually only like 2 feet tall.
Yeah, and everything's covered in snow and shit as well. So it's like even harder to kind of, you know, make out different things. Like, there's trees and shit, but it's hard to kind of... really gauge like the size, do you know what I mean, if that makes sense. But anyways, we will include the photos, I'm sure, on our Instagram, so you can go and have a look and stuff. But yeah, that is one of like the biggest reasons people think that it's a photograph as well. That people are like, yes, it 100% was this. But it's like, maybe. Mm. Also, remember that some of the members of the group did keep diaries. So they were writing, you know, about their experience, what they were seeing. So surely if they came across anything that could have potentially indicated that they were being followed by a Yeti or anything like that,
they wouldn't have taken a picture. They would have wrote it down.
They surely would have wrote something about it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not an expert in the Yeti or anything, but in researching this case initially and finding out about it, it is one of what I would say is probably in the top 3 or 4 most spoken about theories is the one to do with the Yeti. And there's a lot of people that go into a lot of detail about other similar experiences with Yeti-like creatures and all that. Now, there's a lot of crazy shit. I'm not saying I necessarily believe in it or not. I do think as well that there is a lot of the world that we just haven't explored, and it's impossible for us to be aware. Like, there's scientists finding new creatures
all the time.
It's not like totally unheard of, so I'm not going to completely rule it out. I like to keep a very much open mind, but they do say that these kind of like Bigfoot, Yeti, whatever, a lot of the time they kind of stalk their victims beforehand. They don't just kind of appear out of nowhere and attack. Like, they're meant to be highly intelligent creatures as well. So it would make sense that if it was a Yeti attack, they would have been following the group for quite a while before ultimately attacking them.
And their injuries would have been worse.
I say their limbs would have been ripped off. Like, it just, once again, it doesn't really make sense. Like, maybe they were thrown around, but then why the tongue and the eyes? Why not? Why did they eat them? Like, what, you know?
Yeah, like, why would you just, it's not, I don't think they were like, let's play, a game of catch with these people.
Who knows?
Them as a fucking ball. They're obviously going to attack them. They're going to fucking tear them apart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll take this tongue. I'll take your eyeballs.
Like, fucking, it's some type of buffet. Picking and choosing. I don't know. It's weird. And yeah, basically the whole story of that theory goes similar to the Wolverine one that, you know, he attacked them, blah, blah, blah. And that's how they ended up.
They escaped.
So we're not going to, go into too much detail on that, but it's basically the same kind of storyline as
the Wolverine one.
Yeah. So the last theory to do with animal attacks is to do with reindeer. So researcher Alexander Konstantinov published a story in 2013 in Eurostalker, which was some type of newsletter about Dead Mountain. And he wrote about the behaviors of reindeer and how they form a trail that they follow when in danger. So he believed that the group may have pitched their tents on one and reindeer may have rushed through, tripping over the tent. Apparently the hikers' injuries could be explained by reindeer tripping over the tent as they weigh 100 to 200 kilograms. So basically it's that the reindeer trampled them.
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, fair enough. Can explain why they had to cut out the tent, explain why they had to kind of flee and leave clothes and shit behind. But once again, the injuries.
Everybody keeps forgetting, the part that stuck with me the most anyways is their injuries.
Because that's obviously the biggest question mark. And none of these theories fully explain.
Yeah. Every theory that I go to read, I'm like, okay, this is going to explain the injuries. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah,
they just brushed by it, just didn't happen.
And obviously with this one as well, the trail, if there was a fucking thing or panicked reindeer trying to escape
any type of animal,
surely there would have been footprints, there would have been fur, there would have been something. And even in the case of, say, if they were killed by animals, right, there would have been, have you ever seen an animal? I've never, witnessed one firsthand, obviously. Yeah. But I've watched, documentaries and stuff where people have been attacked by animals and different shit like that. Sure, even fucking Tiger King, when the tiger attacked him and all. Animal attacks are messy.
Yeah.
They're not fucking clean, precise. You know what I mean? It would be savage attacks. There'd be fucking blood everywhere, fur everywhere. It'd be a mess.
Also, they tested the tent and all of their clothes. If the Wolverine had sprayed his whatever...
Surely, yeah,
that would have came up on some type of test. And I don't think that was the fucking radioactivity. Don't think that's what he's fucking spraying.
No. A radioactive Wolverine.
I don't think so.
I mean, at this stage, who fucking knows?
So, the last natural kind of cause that we're going to talk about today is mental illness. And there was only one kind of mental illness theory that I've came across. And that was Arctic hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something I never heard of before, but it did become very popular after the Dyatlov Pass incident began to be compared with the Chivray Pass incident. I'm sorry, I'm probably not saying that right.
Yeah.
It's close to the Dyatlov Pass anyways. They're both in Oblast, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lavazero natives introduced this theory as a possible cause of the hikers' strange behavior on the Chivray Pass. So these hikers became very disorientated and had no sense of time. They stopped feeling the cold, so they started like stripping off as well. Mm-hmm. And they were walking like as if in a trance. So pretty weird behavior.
Yeah, and immediately what I'm thinking, hearing about that, is obviously the footprints of the Dyatlov Pass group and how they were perceived to have been walking. It's like, yeah, leisurely, not running, not stumbling, not falling, not sprinting away, but just walking. And I wonder if they were in some type of trance as well.
It makes sense.
It does make sense so far. Yeah,
so pretty weird behavior overall. Other symptoms included aggression, visual and auditory hallucinations, and strange behavior such as shredding clothes.
Okay.
This theory became very famous and made people believe that this could have been what happened to the Dyatlov group as well, considering they were only 1,300 kilometers away.
Okay.
And both in Oblast, Russia. So very, very close together. The one problem with this theory is that only native people have witnessed these strange behaviors and symptoms of the hikers. So other people have seen it happen.
Yeah.
But it's only the Lavazero natives that have like suffered from it, basically. Okay. So they were the ones that were hiking at that time in that area.
Yeah.
And they kind of were the ones that got all those symptoms. Now, a lot of people think obviously it was the Dyatlov Pass people, but then because a lot of the communities there are like tribes, a lot of people kind of just brushed it off back then, because that is unfortunately what happened at the time. You were just kind of brushed off. So that's kind of why not many people like followed that theory or investigated it further. It was just kind of brushed off then.
Kind of pushed it aside.
A lot of people believed as well that this could be native people throwing a tantrum because strangers trespassed on their land, so they were like trying to be like freaky. Some say these episodes are triggered by stress from the sudden encounter of technology and disbelief of their values. That one was pretty out there, I thought.
Yeah.
Technology is making you go all crazy.
Why not? Yeah.
Others say that it's malnutrition and poor education, but the fact remains that the only reported cases were natives in the area. So that one was interesting to me because there's no real room for gaps, because all of the injuries could be explained if they were hysterical and hallucinating and aggressive.
Yeah.
Everything that happened could be explained by they all went nuts up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it also seems like it's too easy. Yeah. But I don't know if it's because it's become such a big thing.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, it can't just be that. But it's like,
It
could very well be something as easy as that. Like, they went mad. They got Arctic hysteria, I think it was called. Yeah. So,
and just lost their minds.
It is possible. But then again, I don't know. You kind of have to look a lot into hiking and see if people have been out there for that period of time before, because you'd kind of need statistics and stuff like that, because it makes sense if it happens because of where they were and the cold and everything like that. But if there's been a lot of people who have been there before and been there for longer periods of time, etc., then it doesn't make sense for all 9 people to get Arctic hysteria.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 or 2 because it's a rare thing, but it wouldn't make sense for the entire group to start suffering from this one mental illness that nobody suffers from.
Yeah.
Unless it's extenuating circumstances, which I think it was considering the conditions that they were in and stuff. But again, I'm not an expert, so I couldn't say for sure. But this is the most believable theory I think I've read so far.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of one of the theories that I came across when I was researching it, called the infrasound theory. So basically what that is, it's a wind formation that happens in like mountainy regions. But basically what this wind formation does is it produces an infrasound, which is basically a low frequency sound that's too low for humans to actually hear, but your subconscious picks it up. And this is a real thing that actually happens, and it causes people to have feelings of like anxiety, panic attacks, and even hysteria due to like this infrasound.
Yeah,
right? If people are exposed to it for long periods of time, it basically causes them to like lose their mind. So this guy Donnie Ekar writes about this in his book, which is actually one that I'm reading at the moment, called Dead Mountain, and we use it for a good bit of the research. I feel like even in part one and stuff, we did refer to the book quite a bit.
I actually forgot to link it in part one for Patreon, so if you do want to look at it, have a look at Spotify. It will be on the Spotify one.
Okay, brilliant. But yeah, so basically in his book he kind of refers to his theory, and what he believes might have happened in relation to this was that the noise would have woken up some of the hikers, and they would have been like a total panic and they would have fled the scene. Then the other ones, the remaining hikers, were like, what's the story with them? And then they kind of stormed out after them to make sure they were okay. And when they got away from the noise, they kind of calmed down a bit, but obviously at that point it was too dark for them to return to the tent. Yeah, so obviously like the only kind of thing with that as well is apparently when tests were done, only 20% of test subjects were affected by the sound, making them feel anxious. So if it was the case that this is what happened to the group, it wouldn't have affected every single one of the hikers. And then also, if we're going back to the theory that the remaining hikers went out to run after the ones that were disorientated or were affected by this infrasound noise, why would they have also left without their shoes? Because a lot of them weren't even wearing shoes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, like, if they ran out to go and help them, surely, remember, these are all like experienced hikers. Yeah. They're all well aware like the risks of hypothermia and what kind of risks are involved. Like, as much as I'd want to run out and like help my friends, I would also need to be conscious of my own safety and being like, okay, me running out there all willy-nilly half in the nip isn't gonna save anyone. If anything, it might just add to the amount of people fucking dead. But yeah, so that theory just kind of reminded me of that one as well, with the whole mental illness, like people going crazy and that's what caused it. Once again, there's still kind of gaps in it. I feel like none of these theories like full on like tie into everything that happened. Like, not everything's fully explained. I think that's why there's so many theories, and that's why there's no like definitive answer, because nothing is all explained under any theory. Like,
yeah,
there's, every theory has its like, even ones that are like 80% there, like, okay, this accounts for this and this.
Yeah.
There's still always like a few things that are like, but this doesn't make sense, this doesn't line up. But yeah, the last kind of theory that we are going to cover off in this episode, last but not least, is once again another one that I would consider to be quite big, and that is the murder theory. So investigators initially believed that the hikers were attacked and killed. This was dismissed early on due to the cuts in the tent, which was believed to have been made from the inside of the tent. So once again, if somebody would have attacked them like randomly and killed them, why would they have cut themselves out of the tent? Surely it would have been somebody cutting into the tent to get into them.
Exactly.
Russian criminologist Natalia Sakharova has studied the documents extensively, and she has actually come to believe that the possibility of the Dyatlov group being murdered should not have been ruled out. So she's come out to say that she has doubts that the tent was even cut from the inside in the first place. Now, she's recreated the cuts, and based on the photos taken by the investigators on the tent, she actually believes the cuts had been misinterpreted, as they didn't fully understand the details that they were looking for in order to prove that the tent was cut from the inside. The other factor that ties into the murder theory is the injuries of some of the hikers. So a lot of the injuries stated in the autopsy reports did not line up with the type of injuries related to a fall, and they were obviously a lot more serious. Ken Holmes, who was a coroner in the US, reviewed autopsy reports for the hikers, and he believes that the officials involved at the time of the autopsy had basically tried to sweep the whole incident under the rug by making it look like an unfortunate accident, which is actually like what they did.
Yeah, it does, you know? Like, they really heavily came across that way. A lot of it was
hypothermia, unknown compelling force. Like, okay, bro.
Even if there was evidence that it was an avalanche or something natural or anything like that, you would still believe that the government had something to do with it because they were so sketchy.
So sketchy throughout this whole fucking thing. So obviously what this girl, Natalia, was referring to, she was basically saying that the murder theory never really kind of took off when the whole incident played out, because straight away they identified that, oh yeah, the cuts were made from inside the tent, meaning that there's no possible way that somebody came in to attack them. And they just never really looked into it further than that. But now she's saying that, oh, well, actually, from my research and my tests, there is still a strong chance that the tent could have actually been cut from the outside.
Yeah.
So the murder theory should realistically be revisited now, because there is a good possibility of that they were attacked and murdered. One theory is that Zolo Taryov was lying on his back when something very heavy was dropped on top of him, or that somebody must have been stomping on his chest. And an interesting fact is that his rib fractures are all quite high, so they start at the collarbone and only go halfway down his chest. So this, once again, wouldn't be typical from somebody who is said to have gotten those injuries from a fall. Like, if you're falling, Trevor is saying that a lot of like their injuries, even though they died from hypothermia, their cause that was hypothermia, their injuries, they were like, oh, it must have just been somehow while they were scrambling, they must have fallen.
Yeah.
But these injuries, like up at the top of your chest, you know, if you fall, you might fall sideways, you might, you know, say if you hit like the side of your body off a rock, you might end up breaking a few ribs to the side. But up here along your chest,
yeah,
it's as if something's crushing you.
Yeah.
Like, something's deliberately crushing your body.
As well, like, even if he fell out of a tree, say, head first, his neck would have been broken.
Exactly.
Because that's what I was thinking initially. I was like, could that have happened? But I was like, nah, he definitely would have broke his neck.
Oh, 100%.
So,
his arms, legs, everything would have been broken if he would have fallen out of a tree.
Somebody had to stand on him. Or something.
Or use something to
apply force to that particular area.
Yeah. Ludmila suffered from the same injuries, but hers were a lot worse. And I know we did kind of mention this before, but her rib fractures were caused with so much force that it actually caused their ribs to basically like splinter and pierce through her heart. And like we have mentioned before, that these injuries are normally only associated with car crashes or falling from great heights. And I mean, when I say great heights, like at least 50 feet, which is huge.
Yeah.
So it's strange that she would have suffered from such a brutal injury, say, if she would have had a fall, or like you were saying, she would have fallen from a tree or something. These injuries just would not be common with that.
They just don't make, it just doesn't add up.
No. Then obviously, still looking at Ludmila and her injuries, she was also missing her eyeballs and her tongue. And the autopsy report did say that this just occurred naturally because she was found lying face down in a stream under the snow. So basically it was like just over time, by the time they found her body, it just would have eroded. And fair enough, I can kind of maybe understand that with the eyeballs, because that's kind of soft tissue.
Yeah.
So if you think about even in general cases with like true crime and stuff, if they do find somebody's remains, chances are like the soft tissue is kind of the first thing to go. The likes of the eyes, yeah. It's more like skeletal remains left. Muscle tissue, that's a lot, like, you know,
damaged.
But her tongue,
it came out when she was alive, right?
Her tongue was ripped out while she was alive.
Yeah. Plus as well, even with the whole eyeball thing, like, there's been people who've been missing for longer and still had their eyeballs. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I mean.
In water, in the cold.
I think that's what kind of really fucks with me the most, is the fact that it was cold. And I mean, it was hella fucking cold.
Yeah.
And I know that it was like whatever, she was near a ravine or whatever else, but I'm like, here. She'd have
been preserved better.
That's what I mean. That's what blows my mind. Like, these people's bodies should have been, there shouldn't have been that much like natural deterioration, you know, happening to these bodies because of how cold it was. Like, think about it, if you want to preserve,
they would have been
meat
frozen.
In general, you put them in the freezer.
Which isn't as cold as it was there.
No, and that stops it from fucking going all moldy. Oh my god, that sounds awful saying that.
I know.
But you get what I'm trying to say, like.
I think people don't think about that because people think people get frostbite and their fingers fall off. But they don't think that's only when you're alive. Once you've passed,
yeah,
the cold is only gonna preserve your body.
Yeah, Exactly.
Because you don't have warm blood running through you anymore. It's not a constant battle between the cold outside and the heat inside you.
Yeah.
You're just cold.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people just don't think about that because of frostbite. But when you actually
think it through,
it doesn't really make sense that she was decomposed because she would have been frozen.
Yeah. Literally, like, none of it. It just blows my mind.
Unless
really
somebody
does.
Like had her and then put her there.
Unless.
But again, that goes back to murder.
Yeah, exactly. So Thibault was found in the same area as Ludmila in Zolotaryov, yet his injuries were very different. So he had suffered from a fracture to the right temple. His injury resembled as if he was like struck in the head with something. But once again, his autopsy report just said that he sustained these injuries from a fall.
Yeah.
And that's like a very specific, because it was like in the side of his temple as well, yeah. Right? So surely if you're falling, like, yeah, maybe, but I don't know.
I know any time I've fallen, it's been flat on my face.
Yeah.
Not the side.
Yeah.
And I have photographic evidence I showed you.
To prove it. Kolovatov was the fourth person found in the same stream, and he had suffered from quite a large wound behind his ear, which is very unusual and once again isn't something that would be associated with an injury from falling over whatsoever. His autopsy report did also state that his neck had been damaged, and because of his neck injuries, it is believed, now this isn't proven, this isn't stated, but this is just what people believe, that it was due to him actually being strangled.
Yeah.
Yuri Doroshenko, Bo had cuts and bruises to his eyes, lips and nose. He also had bruises under his arms and at his armpits. Yuri Krivoshenko had bruises on his forehead, around his left temple, and his knuckles and fingers were bruised and swollen. He also had really bad burns on his left leg. Both Yuri's injuries were not bad to the point where it would have stopped them from returning to the tent. So what was out there stopping them from doing this? Rustem Slobodin did look like he was heading back to the tent when his body was found. He also had bruised knuckles and bruises to his face and lips. He had also suffered from a fracture to the side of his skull, and it's believed that he was struck unconscious in the area where his body was found. So whatever happened to him seemed to not be linked to the deaths of the others. He seems to have his own, like, individual.
Yeah. And I have a theory about that that I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah.
I found it. And I didn't know about it, and I don't know how people...
I definitely don't know any theories to do with just him, so I'm excited to hear about
Not just well. Him, it's to do with somebody else in the group, but I have a theory as to why his death was unlinked to everybody else.
Okay, I see.
But it is to do with somebody else in the group.
Yeah. Zina had bruises all over her face when she was found. She also had a 30-centimeter long bruise across her back and kidney area. So once again, just a strange injury to have. She also had bruises all over her knuckles, which people are kind of looking at that going, could it be possible that she got these injuries from trying to like defend herself against somebody trying to attack her? Now, that could be why so many of them did have bruises on their hands and their knuckles and stuff like that. But these injuries can also be explained by them just hitting off the ice while they were making their way to Ortorten. Yeah. So while they were obviously hiking up the mountain, they could have just injured themselves along the way.
Yeah.
Igor Dyatlov was also found lying in the direction of the tent. The autopsy report stated that he had bruises on his knuckles, and he had bruises and abrasions to both his wrists and ankles. And as we know, he was the group leader. So looking at the whole murder theory, is it possible that whoever attacked the group first tied him up because he was known to be the leader, get him out of the way?
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't be able to protect them, and then did what they will with the rest, and then eventually
possibly
killed him as well. And the way their bodies were found were all set up. And but then again, even with that, I mean, who the fuck was out in the mountains killing people?
Exactly. It's like, what the fuck?
Like this isn't like a park where, you know, somebody could comfortably hide out in the shadows and fucking wait to attack. Like,
no,
this was not in any way a habitable area.
No.
You know what I mean? Where people could have just casually fucking popped out of the trees and just committed mass murder.
No. But I do think that the two most believable theories we've talked about today is mental illness or murder.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to believe that it's aliens or some kind of like secret Russian military experiment. But I think the most believable and
if
the ones with the least
logical
gaps is those. One thing that I wanted to mention as well, back when we were talking about strange lights but forgot to, is Sam from Have You Heard About This Case was actually listening to part one about the Dyatlov Pass, and she reached out to me because she's herself has seen mysterious lights.
Stop.
That sound very similar to the description in the Dyatlov Pass. So what she has seen is referred to as the Paulding Light in Paulding, Michigan. I hope I'm saying that right.
Okay.
She used to spend a lot of time up there, and she even brought Kelly up there recently.
No way.
To see it. It's completely unexplained, but there's a lot of similar lights across the US.
Yeah.
So I thought that that was really, really interesting, and they actually covered it on their podcast in episode 13. So if you want to go and have a look, have you heard about this case? They're everywhere that we are, so go ahead.
This shit is so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm after Googling it because I was all like, this sounds like something I'm interested in. And they have a sign. Can I just read out what the sign says?
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely going to be going over and listening to their episode because I want to know more about this. And basically what the sign says is, this is the location from which the famous Paulding Light can be observed. Legend explains its presence as a railroad brakeman's ghost destined to remain forever at the site of his untimely death. He continually waves the signal lantern as a warning to all who come to visit. To observe the phenomenon, park along the forest road facing north. The light will appear each evening in the distance along the power line right of way. Remember, other people will be visiting the location. Please do not litter.
Please do not litter.
They have a fucking sign going, yo, do you just want to see this ghost? Just park your car here and look.
Yeah. No, seriously, yeah. It's
what?
I never heard of it before, and I'm actually only reading the message now. But yeah, she said she's seen it dozens and dozens of times. There's a lot of different theories. She told me what she believed, but I'm not going to spoil it because in about 2 seconds, you're going to hear a clip from that episode. And yeah, if you're interested or you like it, you can go over to their page and listen to the whole episode.
Hi, my name is Sam, and I'm one of the hosts of Have You Heard About This Case? My co-host Kelly is currently traveling, but I wanted to hop in here because Insane Investigations asked us to tell you a little bit about a case that we covered a short while back that has some very mild similarities to Dyatlov Pass. In reality, they're probably completely unrelated. But in Dyatlov Pass, there are some reports and some blurry photos of mysterious lights in the sky. As far as I'm aware, there has never been a proven explanation as to what these lights were. And in episode 13 of our show, we covered the Paulding Light in Paulding, Michigan. This light is in the middle of the woods, just beyond the Wisconsin border, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It is an unexplained floating light. It can change colors, it can move, sometimes there's more than one light. And I've gone to Paulding many times over the last 20 years and I still have no idea what it is. There are some researchers that believe it may be headlights from a highway that's nearly 5 miles away. And the lore is that it is the ghost of a brakeman from a train that was used to haul iron and copper from area mines. This brakeman, who was equipped with just a lantern, went to go search for survivors after the train crashed. If you want to hear more about the Paulding Light and stories of our time visiting the light, check out episode 13 of Have You Heard About This Case? Thanks.
But I thought that that was really interesting that she had seen like similar lights to what
that
we were talking about. So yeah, really interesting. But that is it for today. So we will come back with more theories very, very soon. We'll probably do maybe 2 episodes on something else and then maybe come back to it because it is still really interesting and I do want to cover.
We don't want to overkill it either.
Yeah, we don't want just to like get bored of waiting and then go look it up or something.
Yeah.
So we'll do like 2 different topics and break then we can come back to it and break it up a little bit. But yeah, if you enjoyed, let us know. If you know,
let us know what you think as well.
Yeah, let us know what you think of all the different theories. If you have any theories yourself,
mm-hmm.
What was your favorite theory? Which one is most believable? Let us know. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Bye.